Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, powered by UN Improved and Conscious Capitalism Arizona. Leadership Lowdown is a radio series dedicated to shining a spotlight on business leaders and sharing the real stories behind their rise to the top, because we want to know the truth about what it takes to truly succeed in life and in business. And we're here to uncover these leaders' journeys, whether it be the pitfalls, the victories, and all of the heartaches and triumphs in between. And today I am so happy because I am sitting across in studio from two people that I both love and admire. And I have to introduce them right away. Jenny Lang, who is the managing director over at Real World Marketing. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Jody.
Glad to have you here. And then Camille French, who is the owner and president of Amerisource HR. So welcome, my dear.
Thank you.
It is so great to have two powerhouse ladies in the house. We're going to have some fun today. The whole point of the show and why we do it is to really, like I said, shine a spotlight, but share the stories of what it took to get to where you are. Of course, we want to learn about your businesses, but really, you know, it's a grind. Yes. And, you know, oftentimes it's like, what worked? What didn't work?
Right.
And I think when we can share the real stories, because oftentimes it's the, oh, you know, magical unicorns came and everything was pixie dust and rosebuds. It's, you know, it's not really the case. So I'd love to hear from each of you about your stories and backgrounds. So we'll start with you, Jenny. And you have had an interesting background.
Yes.
You are over at Real World Marketing, running the show over there. So tell us a little bit about what you do currently there today.
Well, we have a full service agency and we deal with automotive as our specialty. We do everything in-house. So we have our own digital company. We do our own commercials. We buy our own media. We create our own pieces. So we really do it front to back. And it's a very exciting, fast-paced, fun business. And it was a good fit for me.
Yeah.
Leaving the automotive side.
Yeah. So with that, you have a huge, vast experience in the automotive world. That's really been your entire career path. So
really.
Tell us a little bit about the start and what got you into this, because the girl from Nebraska ended up, you know, in the car biz. How does that happen?
Well, not to date myself, I put an age on me, but 27 years I was in the retail business. I got in at the age of 20. I started selling cars. I was going to night school and something in there just clicked for me. And I just had such a passion for it and helping other people. And, you know, the funny thing about sales is really, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So really focusing on that other person's needs. And also the other thing too that I learned so early on was sell people how they want to be sold, not how you want to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we're all so vastly different. And it's when you're able to tap into what somebody wants. So really, I started out selling cars, worked my way through the car dealership. I was blessed to work for a wonderful man who was an owner that had dealerships all across the state of Kansas. And he saw something in me at that young age and gave me opportunities. I was a finance manager, used car manager, new car manager. I wrote service for 6 months. And then I was a general manager for 22 years.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then my last position was COO for a dealer group in town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been such a, what an education that was.
I can only
especially
imagine.
In that world,
yeah.
You know, in that man's world at the time.
Well, and that's where I wanted to go. You read my mind, because I find it fascinating, because it's not often that you meet a female GM that's been in the automotive industry so long. So What's changed between 27 years ago and today? Are you more well received? Was it different back then?
Yes, you know, it was different back then. I remember it wasn't that long ago that it was different when I say that. I would say it was probably about 18 years ago. I was sitting in a big conference for a dealer group that I worked for, and I looked around the room of these 500 general managers, and it was me and one other woman for the whole, you know, in the nation for this particular group. And I thought, wow, I mean, where are they? But now it's different.
Mm-hmm.
There are women running dealerships quite successful and doing well. And I run into them now on the advertising side. I still with automotive dealers, run into them all the time. So it's totally different.
Yeah.
But, and it's so great to see, because quite frankly, I felt like it was an advantage in sales being a woman in a male driven industry, because people seem to let down their guard a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a different approach. And that was definitely a benefit. I saw that right out of the gate. I saw it as a plus.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wonderful. And if it was well received back then, I'm assuming it's only grown over time.
I mean, it wasn't always easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember my first general manager job. I was a whole 28 years old. And I really, that team there taught me everything. I mean, I walked in ready to go. you know, full of that, ready to rock. And I, my first day out, I was walking the lot doing inventory, and the finance guy walked up to me and he says, you know, Jenny, a few of us have been talking and we've kind of got a problem. And I'm like, well, what would that be? Well, some of us don't want to work for a woman. This was on day one, first day as a general manager. And I don't know, but I have a witty mother who taught me Comeback City. So my comment, well, it's a good news, bad news story. The good news is I don't have to get along with you. The bad news is you've got to get along with me.
Oh.
Now, that is not how I approach leadership. But when you're in those dire situations where you have to do a level set so that you stand your ground, that's how I did it. And that story, that gentleman and I parted ways not soon after, as you know, he continued to push and challenge and test. And, you know, the owner said to me, well, the way you do it is you draw blood first. So, you know, that's kind of how it had to go.
Yeah, you had to learn the lesson.
But, you know, you learn it. And I remember my first years of leadership, I thought I had to exert myself. I mean, I didn't come, you don't come ready out of the box to lead typically, mm-hmm. right? You have to learn those lessons. You have to really take feedback from those around you. Mm-hmm. And so it's been an exciting thing. And the other thing is too, is, you know, I'm mentoring quite a few young leaders mm-hmm. that are leading different departments within our agency. And they have the right heart and the right mind. But there's just, you know, that ability to, I think as a rule, people, they are challenged to tell people the truth, to be direct. You can do it respectfully.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of my approach with everything, is just, you know, I try to let people right up front. You know, a difficult conversation would start out with me letting them know what the end result was. Mm-hmm. Because I find if you're going to have a difficult conversation, people are so busy trying to guess where you're going, they're not listening.
That's a great point.
You know,
I'm sure.
Really good point.
I'm sure Camille runs into that a time or two, too. She runs her team as well. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, starting out and saying, hey, here's the end result I'm looking for in this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I start every difficult conversation that way. And people are like, okay, then we can dig in. And mm-hmm. then you know, and I find that is a big change I made young early on. And that was actually advice from a mentor of mine. Mm-hmm. And that served me well over, you know, the last 30 plus years of being able to have those conversations.
Absolutely.
And then people, I was telling them, I'm not doing you a favor. If you leave here and we told you you did great the entire time and you go into another workplace and you fail because we didn't give you the right barometer, mm-hmm. we're failing you.
Yep.
So, and I will tell them that too, you mm-hmm. know, but it is surprising to me how many kids come in. I'm giving them difficult feedback. Kids, I call millennials younger than me, because I'm a little in that. How many of them have never gotten feedback? So when I actually give them true feedback, they're shocked. I've had several of them say, no one's ever told me anything other than I'm doing great.
Wow,
right?
Yeah.
Where's the substance in that?
Yeah.
How about you give me some
tangible takeaways that I can improve
takeaways.
Upon?
Absolutely.
So
it's been a journey. I feel like that, you know, I've really, I've enjoyed it. I love watching people grow. Mm-hmm. I love watching that light bulb. I love watching. That just brings mm-hmm. the most joy to my heart.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey, girl.
So it's interesting because you're talking a lot about people and leadership and not a lot about cars and the automotive business. So could you see yourself easily being transplanted into a completely different realm of work? I mean, or
I kind of just did about 5 years ago.
Absolutely. With the marketing
side. I left
side.
Automotive and I went to a marketing agency mm-hmm. as the director of business development. Now, yes, I did the marketing for the agency. That didn't necessarily make me an expert.
Right.
So really, I realized, because after 27 years in one industry, you kind of get a belief system that's all you know. Where mm-hmm. else are your skills? Are you hireable? And I realized in that transition that it's all people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're selling cars, selling advertising, the people part. You get that down, you can learn the rest.
Yep.
And I, you know, in marketing, I took over the agency as managing director about 3 years ago. I was there a year and a half, and really immersed myself in that learning because I mm-hmm. knew they needed a leader. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to have certain knowledge in order to lead with, to get that, the respect, mm-hmm. right? You can't just walk in sometimes from a different industry. So just really, I got my hands dirty right along to everybody. Yeah. And then as the time came to move up and take the helm, it was a natural transition. And I didn't really feel there was much difficulty. You know, the naysayers, or, you know, I like to call the old guard, those folks that might've been remaining, I just killed them with kindness and kept pushing forward and realized, you know, and they'd either remove themselves mm-hmm. or get on board.
Yep.
You know, and that's, I don't have to force them. I just have to show them the path, show them, you know, show them where we're going and encourage them to be part of the solution.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I've never, you know, being able to know and work with your teams, I've never once met anyone that hasn't adored you as a leader and someone to work for. And that's true from my heart because I've been blessed to know them. It's a universal, oh my gosh, we get to work for Jenny. It's not a have to, it's a get to. So,
well, I am grateful for any time anyone trusts me and joins the team. I don't take people's livelihoods or their loyalty lightly.
Yeah,
like that's a big deal to me.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah. And you alluded to, you used the word mentor, so I want to hear more about that. Who is it that really shaped you in this industry? Was there one person or was it many? Or
I'd say the path is long, different points in my life. You know, I would migrate towards, there was a gentleman who was a trainer for Lexus at the time. And this, I was in my 20s then. And the way he spoke, and this was before I'd had really any exposure to any type of leadership classes or even the read. I mean, I've read a million, but, you know, we all constantly feed ourselves with that right energy, that right focus. You know, you have to keep your mind focused. And I remember this gentleman, and he would always talk about our shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to the shadow. The shadow is the negative voice in your head in the back. Mm-hmm. The shadow is not right. The shadow is not real. The shadow is your shadow. You know, he'd go through this whole deal. And that was like when I was, because, you know, right, self-doubt, everyone suffers from
Absolutely.
It. Nobody is free from that. And realizing really managing that space between your ears, really my first exposure was really the time. And I mean, I must have followed that guy around like a puppy dog asking him questions. I mean, he's probably like, come on. No, we're actually still friends to this day.
That's great.
But yeah, through the path, I've just met some amazing people. And of course, not to toot Jody's horn, but Jody's program, your program with You and Improved has been, I remember it took 8 months for you guys to get me. You know, I thought, oh, it's going to be elementary. I've read every book. I know, blah, blah. Well, it was an elementary, as we know. And that has been such an integral part of my growth and continued growth. And then being able to give people that same type of opportunity, because people don't always know, A, do they have access to world-class training? B, or to be around people with that mindset.
Right.
So that piece has helped me so much with the business. And really, I look back and I could, you know, I don't bring those numbers with me, but when I look at our ROI, when I go back to the Acura days, when I was running the Acura store, the change, the narrative changed, how we spoke changed. And that continues through today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, Jody, it's just been along the way. And then the reading, constantly reading, sharing books, looking at things. And you know, and I'm also blessed with a very close, you know, group of friends that I think they're all psychology majors at this rate.
Yeah.
I don't need to pay a psychologist. Right. I got all them.
You got all of them.
But, you know, that have also been my mirror in life. One of my very good friends is my yin to my yang, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a mirror to me. And there is nowhere to hide. But how grateful I am to have that, because I haven't lost track of who I am, where I am, and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm right. My feet are planted firmly on the ground. And so, you know, I think that too. So I've been blessed. And, you know, the other thing that I've always kept, my mother always told me, my mom, I bring my mother up, such a wise woman, bless her heart. She always said to me, the most attractive quality a person can have is humility. Mm-hmm. So no matter what success, no matter what's going on, stay your feet on the ground, stay humble and serve people. And really, there's a lot, you know, and of course, one of your other classes that the samurai class, which we won't go into any detail, but I'll tell you what, that one was the most uncomfortable, but blessed class that really put into perspective what service meant.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just, I'm going to, you know, give or volunteer. No, it goes way beyond that.
Yeah.
It's how you approach and how you treat mankind.
Yep. Yep, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I appreciate the compliments. I know that I should say for all three of us, actually four, if we go to our amazing producer here, Karen, who's also sharing space with us today. This is a room of amazing, powerful women who lead in their businesses, but also you got personal lives and everyone here's got kiddos. So I'm sure if you're anything like me, you get the question, how do you do it all? How do you manage it all? How do you, you know, run a business, run a company, raise your children? So talk to us a little bit about that because, I have a personal belief that balance is a myth, but how do you juggle it for you? Because having two kiddos and running a big company.
You know, it's funny because of just having this conversation at the office, we're in the middle of, putting in a new infrastructure and a new software, all these things we're doing. And everyone asked me, what's the end goal?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's balance. Yeah. We all work like dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, let's find balance to where we're good at both, mm-hmm. you know, because we have such a group of dedicated people. But for me, I think the real key is, and this is, of course, you know, as we know, everywhere we go, we have these kind of conversations with people because it's true to our heart and dear to our heart, is also knowing ourselves well enough to know what we need to stay our healthiest. Number mm-hmm. one, you got to start with you. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you're, I always joke, call it my ecosystem, but you exercise, you eat right, you get the right sleep. You have to take care of you before you can take care of everyone else.
So what does that look like for you? Because I know yoga is a big piece of it.
I get up at 4:45 almost every day.
Yep.
I go to hot yoga, yep. sweat it out, get up. I'm out of the door by 7:30. You know, the kids that get home, kids to school. I'm blessed with a husband that is there doing it all. And I go to bed early. But when I get home, I'm home. You know, I just make sure mm-hmm. wherever I'm at, plug in.
Yep.
You're there. And it's hard though, right? Mm-hmm. When we have a lot of pressures. Yep. And I wouldn't say that I'm not guilty of laying awake at night, getting up at 2 a.m. and I just start working. Mm-hmm. But if that's what I need to do, then that's what I do. Right. But at the end of the day, it's just really, it's taking care of yourself.
Yep.
And making it part of who you are. Because everyone says, when do you have time to work out? I go, 4:45 a.m. I get them. They're like, oh, not me. And I'm like, well, it's just part of who I am now.
Yeah.
It's part of what I do. It's where I get to meditate. It's where it's my time. It's where I'm present. It's where I leave everything behind. It's my time.
Yep.
Selfishly. Yep. And you know, I'm like blessed with a great support system. You know, unfortunately, I don't have really much family, if any, that lives mm-hmm. in town. So it's my husband and I and our two children, mm-hmm. Ellie and Luke. But what I do like being a strong, powerful woman in the workforce is what worth ethic it shows my children.
Absolutely.
And since my kids were little, they've sat in the back of rooms and sales meetings at car dealerships. They come to my work. They might be doing homework on the side while I'm working, and they're quiet and they listen. But then later they ask questions. Mm-hmm. So and you know, and my daughter is, well, as you know, Jody knows, my daughter Ellie is my identical twin in a little 14-year-old body with blonde hair.
Yep. So true.
But, you know, watching her grow and, you know, she's been exposed to, of course, I've taken her to graduations for when we have our teammates go through you, the leader, and mm-hmm. the different programs that you have. And they're listening all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And I will hear her say things to her friends that, man, I couldn't be any prouder. Like, you know, the sooner you figure out that it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks, the better off you are. 14 in middle school. That's a pretty good sale. Absolutely. In a really tough environment we have out there.
Absolutely.
So, you know, but it's my kids, my family are my currency.
Absolutely.
They are my number one.
I love it.
I work hard for them and all the employees, you know, all the people that matter to me. But at the end of the day, the owner that I work for, she's a wonderful lady. She knows when I need to do something for my kids, there's no questions.
Yep.
I'm at every meet. I'm at every soccer game. Well, almost every soccer game. It's hard. We have to conquer and divide sometimes. But mm-hmm. that's why I left the retail business, was the hours. It mm-hmm. was 6 days a week. I was there on Saturdays. And I decided my kids were, you know, 10 and 7 and sports and schools and different things. I thought, I'm not missing this. So mm-hmm. I made that change. I took a major step back initially. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm back. Mm-hmm. But you have to do that. You have to step back sometimes and take it in. So,
reassess and prioritize mm-hmm. and absolutely.
So, yeah.
And I think too, you know, and Camille probably knows this well, being that, you know, Riley's now a little bit older than our kids, but mm-hmm. it goes so darn fast and it's the blink of an eye. And if you don't make the time now as the priority, the time's gone and it's not replaceable, where you can earn more money. You know,
you're right. It doesn't matter. Just, I agree.
Yeah.
I know. I said retirement should be opposite. You should not work when you're old and you don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have all the time in the world.
You have all the time in the world. Yeah. No, I agree. And time is the most valuable commodity we have. That's why I try, you know, get up so early. I want to make the most of every day.
Maximize every minute.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. And I want to turn a little bit to you now, Camille, because, much like Jenny, I know that you're full steam ahead every single day in your business and same thing, obviously dealing with the balance too. But start us out a little bit about how did Amerisource HR, how was it born? How did you get here? Tell us how we got to today.
So my entire career has been in human resources, and I was fortunate to work with some really great small companies that allowed me a seat at the executive table. For the most part, I had to fight my way a little bit. Uh-huh. You know, back in the day when it was personnel, you didn't even go near those boardrooms at all.
Yeah.
And so I had some really cool companies that I worked for and some good mentors in my life as well. And trying to actually make a move back to Arizona is where I just dabbled in consulting. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of helping other companies from an outside perspective see some things maybe they weren't seeing. you know, looking at their own staff too, and where could we help mentor some leaders there? And so I loved it. I loved it. I was doing it on my own. And that's a difficult challenge to do, like consulting on your own, because sure. it's feast or famine.
Yeah.
You know, you've got some great clients. And then when they're done, you're now, where do I go? Yeah. I've got money. I have to go make some money.
Yeah.
Joined a company that let me kind of still dabble in the consulting, handled a couple other things, and then just had this passion to start a company and actually build it with employees and allow opportunities for other HR professionals who maybe were kind of sick and tired of the one company, you know, rigmarole, and just be able to come and help other companies. And you know, we're, I think HR profession has grown to where with some of the compliance and some of the trends, we can be more creative. It's mm-hmm. not black and white anymore. And we used to joke around that when Amerisource started, we were the company that plays in the gray.
Oh, and I like know, that. That's a good little tagline.
Yeah. That's what we would say to our clients, that we're not the, you know, we're not the cop anymore. We're not the, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. We're not the policy drivers at all. It's really, how do you build a culture that maintains compliance still, so you don't have risk and your liabilities aren't high and all that, but you can still have a good time. You can still, you know, be creative and meet the needs of your team and continue to grow that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we love to do. So you asked Jenny about, you know, being transplanted with her skills into other industries.
Yeah.
We get to use our skills in all kinds of industries.
I bet that's got to be fun.
It's a lot of fun. And I mean, with what, you know, your leadership abilities, you could be plopped in anywhere and just, you know, be a shining star. So we get to do that every day. We get mm-hmm. to go into all kinds, from construction to, you know, restaurants, healthcare. I mean, we've got a company that builds robots. I mean, just fun stuff that we get to learn about them. Completely different dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, and the challenge there is, what kind of culture do they want and how do we adapt to that?
That's great.
So, so that's what kind of got me. I've always been a competitive person from, my mom would say, just even when I probably started walking.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I've never been happy with the status quo.
Right.
Never. It's just not in my makeup. So this allows me an opportunity to continue to allow, you know, to go after certain things. Everything's new with us. We have new clients, new employees to mentor. So that's what kind of got me where I am today.
Yeah.
So this is meeting my passion and continue to do everything I'm educated in as well.
That's fantastic. Well, I love your motto about playing in the gray, because, you know, recently, which we'll be talking after this, you know, we'd been working with some different HR consultants, and it felt so, black and white. When we have an agency where you have dogs. People could, I don't care if they wear flip-flops and yoga pants every day to, you know, so it's nice to know, because that is the environment. That's today's environment.
That's today's environment.
It's not, you know, corporate America suit and tie all day long anymore.
Nope.
Yeah. No, it's great to also bend the rules, but stay within the rules.
Right. If that
we'll
makes
keep
sense.
Everyone safe. Exactly. We've got to be safe. There's certain rules we have to abide by, but to have some flex, I think today is the name of the game. So I love
Absolutely.
That you get to be in that space. And you're expanding by leaps and bounds too, because this isn't just Arizona we're talking about now.
No. And in fact, thanks for bringing that up. We've actually been in many states, just because our clients have offices in all different states. So we have to stay abreast of all the different state laws. But we just opened up our second office in Salt Lake City,
Yay,
Utah. So we're really excited and have a big push this year to grow that market up there. And then continue to do that same thing, replicate that in other states as well. Again, allowing some HR professionals to somewhat have their own kind of book of business mm-hmm. up there mm-hmm. in where they are, and use our back office support and our systems that we're using. So I'm really excited about the future where
awesome.
We're going.
And now, do you typically work with companies that just have no HR department, or can you work with companies that have an HR director but just need extra support and help?
Both, actually.
Okay.
So we completely customize our services. So when we meet with a company, and we used to really focus on small to medium size, that mm-hmm. was kind of what I was targeting. And then as our brand got out there and some of our reputation, we were getting phone calls from companies that have, you know, 500, 1,000 employees. And we thought, all right, let's look at this.
Yeah.
They had an HR department, but they wanted their HR department to focus on some strategic initiatives, but the day-to-day HR, benefits administration and onboarding and just auditing for compliance, you know, that was stuff that were projects sitting on their plate that they just couldn't get to. So we go in and we work with HR departments and in any capacity that they need us.
It's fantastic. So you can really customize whatever it is anyone needs in the HR space.
Absolutely.
That's
fantastic. Absolutely. And then, you know, some other companies that might have high turnover in their HR, and, you know, they spend a lot of money on a good HR director.
Yeah.
the fear there, I guess, is when you hire somebody, you're hiring them and you get the experience that they've brought with them over the years. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's the right experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they were trained appropriately. Hopefully they were educated appropriately. The title sometimes doesn't mean everything.
Sure.
And so we've had a couple of companies that have had some turnover because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So we will come in and audit every client we start with. We audit just to see how were things done?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the risks that they might be facing? That helps us put together our service plan to say, okay, these things are really high priority. Let's help get these in place. Whether we help clean it up and then turn it over to their team to maintain, or we continue to maintain it. But I think, you know, we had the strength of a whole department, you know, for the cost of one. So a lot of the companies would bring us in for an audit and then finally engage with us more on a long-term basis.
Sure.
In those scenarios, those clients will get about 4 to 5 of our team members assigned to them.
Mm-hmm.
Every client, doesn't matter what size they are, will have a minimum of 2 people assigned to them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We always have backup. You know, if we have turnover, which we hope we don't, we've had some years of turnover as we've grown, but that helps, you know, keep that relationship alive
with
the client too.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, we work with anybody and everybody. If they have an HR department, we're a great extension. If they want to outsource portions of their HR functions, we're great with that, or we can be a full department for them.
Fantastic. And I would assume for you too, I mean, starting this business, it's been how many years now?
9. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. I know the rapid growth and expansion, but I'm assuming that it hasn't been, you know, all perfect along the way.
Of course it was.
Of course it was, Jody. What are you thinking? So tell us a little bit, because I know our listeners love to hear, you know, what did you learn along the way, or what was, you know, some of the hard moments or the biggest lessons? So what were some of those for you?
Oh, yeah. No, I think back on the first couple of years and just the zigzag path I took.
Yeah.
Really, from when I first started the company, we also offered payroll services. And so I had purchased a license for a payroll software to do that, which mm-hmm. was a huge expense and one that, in hindsight, it sucked me dry. It really mm-hmm. did. We were going after clients that needed both from a payroll perspective and then some HR. Our HR clients we loved, our payroll companies we didn't. I was up all night. I was at the office at 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep, and just the anxiety that it gave me. So we did sell off. I sold off that division 2 years in, which was the best decision I ever made, and decided to focus on strictly just HR consulting.
Mm-hmm.
We do still offer payroll services, but we use whatever system our client uses. And so, you know, we're just there to help support, administer their payroll, but we're not bringing them onto a system that we had, so kind of took the capital off of that.
Sure.
But, you know, that ate into a lot of the money I had saved to start the company.
Right.
So kind of had to start over almost again after that first 2 years.
Wow.
And couldn't hire HR people and guarantee a salary. I had to talk them into, you know, help building the business, and I can't guarantee full-time hours. And mm-hmm. that was a challenge, you know, finding people who wanted that. And then when I did find some groups of people who wanted that, as we grew quickly, I needed full-time and they didn't want the full-time. They liked the flexibility to be home and pick up their kids every day after school. And
sure.
So we had to make those decisions. Now, mm-hmm. did we outgrow them? So those kinds of things were really, really a challenge. But I think once we started, you know, I got some great core people in, we really started to get comfortable in our service deliveries, the types of clients that work well for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a model that we don't charge by the hour. And that's, I think, been a huge thing for our clients. We have a flat monthly fee, and they know that there's months we work a ton and some months that we might not, just depending on their needs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no sticker shock for anybody at
right.
the end. And it's been a blessing for us. I used to charge by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I can anticipate, like, I know monthly, at least with those types of clients, mm-hmm. that's a revenue we can count on.
Sure.
So now I can hire and pay salaries and grow.
Well,
the business. Well,
and I love the model too, because for the businesses that you serve, I mean, for them, same thing. They're not dealing, like you said, with the sticker shock, but also, hey, you know what? This month it's going to be a little more grueling than perhaps the month prior. And they kind of know what to expect. And I think that's a nice
And we really push that we're very fluid. So if they end up needing us more, because some clients will come in and they'll have us focus on a certain scope of services. Mm-hmm. And then as they get comfortable with us, then they'll say, well, can you guys handle our benefits? And can you handle all of our onboarding? And so we just add that on. Mm-hmm. And in the same turn, if the infrastructure, we get that built and it's more to where we're just maintaining it, we can back off on their fee too.
Yeah.
We don't want, you know, we want them to be very comfortable with what they're getting for the money as well.
Right.
So, you know, that's the bulk of our clients. I mean, we also do projects. We get companies that call us in just to do a project once a year. We might go do an audit.
Mm-hmm.
We might do investigations, and they have a full department, but they just want an outside perspective and, mm-hmm. and somebody to come in and who's not emotionally involved with the
sure.
employees there
and
too.
They need so that too. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we have a couple other, you know, services that are just more advisory. If they just want to call us, it's a lower cost, but we don't give them the department, if you will.
Sure, sure. And you mentioned just even from you know, being a toddler, that you've always been competitive. Yeah. So I'm picturing this little competitive infant running around wanting to seize the world. What led you to this? You know, how did you end up starting this business? And I mean, obviously there's a million different things and it sounds like you were just wired to be an entrepreneur, but what led you down the path of HR?
You know, actually I was in college. My undergraduate degree, I was very much a people person. Also numbers, the business route. My degree was in accounting till my senior year. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I kind of started to panic talking to some accountants, a couple accountants who'd become bartenders. They said because they couldn't handle just spitting and looking at numbers. And I thought, that's going to be me. I'm going to want to move to an island and be a bartender because I'm going to hate this.
Right.
And so I started taking some organizational development courses and some HR courses while I was at ASU and just really loved it. I thought about psychology for a while. Mm-hmm. But again, sitting and hearing people's problems all the time, I don't know if that was something I really wanted to do either. So ironically, it wasn't anything like growing up, I thought, oh, I'm going to be an HR
right.
professional. I mean,
right.
People just don't do that. I'm trying to get my kids to do it. They won't even do it. I think it's just, I love to be around people. I've always been very social. You know, again, at a young age, the report cards when the teachers would write things on the back, you know, about, they'd say, Camille's got such a great potential to be a great student if she just stopped talking.
Right.
You know, and I love to engage. And I think HR equates to a lot of people in their mind is a people job. It's a people process job, right?
Absolutely.
It's employee relations. It's dealing with people. So
yeah.
I think that was a natural fit for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you mentioned your kids. So tell us how do you tackle all of this? Because I know yours are maybe a smidge older than ours, but tell us a little bit about how you juggle it all.
So my son is 23, and as you know, and you know, I was a single mom most of his life. Mm-hmm. And you know, even hearing you in the balance, and that was one thing I think a number of times I was beating myself up a little bit because I had to work. You know, I was still very competitive in my career. I decided, I had a mentor actually. I don't even know if he knows. I give him credit for this. One of my first jobs when I had Riley working for government in an HR role, and he was one that pushed me and said, you know, have you thought about getting your master's degree? Have you thought about getting out of government? Because you'll get stuck in government if you stay too long. Mm-hmm. And just an amazing guy. And we still talk today as well. And I said, oh, I'm a single mom. I can't get my master's degree. And
right.
he said, where are you going to be in 5 years? I mean, you're either going to be there with a master's degree or you're not going to, I mean,
right.
just fit it into your schedule. And so Riley would go to classes with me and, mm-hmm. you know, play on my Palm Pilot and aging myself a little bit, and help me get through. And so I went through the program and got that. And then over the years, so again, I was worried that, you know, he was home alone a lot. I mean, I'd get off work at 5:30, but he would, you know, from right after school, the neighbors would bring him home. And I thought, what am I doing this for? Mm-hmm. And it's funny today. I mean, he now says, Mom, like he'll have me read things that he writes to prove his point to something. And he's like, you know where I learned that? I mean, he now is telling me, I mean, he watched this and he fought even in college to get a dual degree in two completely different colleges. They told him no. So he's getting two degrees here, business and performing arts. And the college told him no. And he said, please don't tell me no. I know I could, if I'm starting to fail, I will back away, but don't tell me no. Let me try to do this. And he amazes me. So he does give me credit. And I mean, more credit than I think he should, because he said, Mom, this is what I grew up watching you do.
Wow.
You know, you fought your way to get what you wanted. And so it's cool to see him doing it.
Well, and it seems to be the path. I mean, these kids, as much as I'm a firm believer just through watching it firsthand, I think it's remarkable at how much we shape them, whether we know it or not, and how much they are little sponges and they absorb it all. And wow, what powerful lessons to now hear from an adult child.
Yeah. And I have two amazing stepkids too. And they're 20 and 18.
Yes.
And they have kind of the same drive. I mean, Nate, the youngest, is an entrepreneur at heart. He has been since as long as I've known him, started little businesses and stuff. So it's amazing to see that. And I do think I credit, you know, to their father and just the business acumen that we have, mm-hmm. it's really neat to see what the kids are developing into.
Yeah, how they turn out. Well, yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, part of what I love to do on this show is also get a little bit of an idea about who you are and ask some questions that originally came from a French television show. And I don't know if it those questions then got translated into a show that I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but it's from a Bravo series called Inside the Actor Studio. And James mm-hmm. Lipton, the host of the show, would ask all the famous actors and actresses that came on the show these same questions. So I've brought them into the Leadership Lowdown because I know. See, it's always, if you haven't been on the show or listened prior, then you don't know the question. So it makes it even more fun. But I think it's a fun way to get to know everyone more and a little bit more about each of you. So we'll kind of ping pong back and forth. So okay. We'll start with you, Jenny. What is your favorite word?
Oh, I can't say it on this radio
station. Oh, you can't. See, here's the beautiful thing, ladies. We are, this is internet radio, so you can say whatever you want.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's the F-bomb.
Okay.
And I know that's horrible to say, especially as a mom. It just cracks, because it tickles a humor in me. It's not in a, from a place of anger. It's, it just cracks
it makes
me
you laugh.
Word. And it just, it's my weird sense of humor. Yeah. But yeah, that's my favorite.
I love it. Yeah. How about you?
It's funny. I don't know what my favorite word is. I really don't know.
No?
I don't have one that I would use regularly.
No?
I don't.
No?
Sorry, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, we'll move on. And if you come back to it, maybe. Okay.
That is a hard question.
It is a hard question.
Well, now it's going to go to the flip side. What's your least favorite word?
Oh, well,
we all know
I learned
that
this
is.
From you. It's try.
Yep.
I always say to my kids, you either will or you won't.
Yep.
Try, you won't. You know, like, are you going to do it or not?
Yes.
There's no
trying. You're in or you're out. There's no trying. Yeah. Absolutely.
And mine, that's an easy one for me, too, is can't.
Yes.
When people can't, yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
I love it. How about what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Music impacts me that way.
Funny. And I did not know that about you. Knowing you quite well, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Now, is there a certain genre or just music in general, depending on your mood?
Well, you know, it depends on my mood. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it depends what's appropriate. Yeah, music has always been a part for me.
Nice.
So it's that, I'm in my office. If I have to focus, I have my little smooth jazz on.
Yeah.
You know, everything, there's always music with
like
me.
Like a theme.
I don't go anywhere without music.
I never knew that. Yeah. We've been to a few concerts together, too.
Yes,
and I never
have.
Knew that it was like that part of the
And
that
maybe we're doing
integral.
Pink.
Hey, if we're doing Pink, girl, I've seen her a few times.
New best friend.
Hey, I will see Pink.
I'm in on that too, right?
I'm telling you, I've seen that woman perform numerous times.
I love that.
I have flown to cities just because she is just the one where I'm like, you are just a badass.
I love
everything you stand for.
Her music is so powerful.
Yeah, she's just phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah. And she's a role model.
She is. She is. That's what I love. I love, love. How about you?
And, you know, and actually, mine is music as well.
Really?
Yeah.
See, and I told you before the show started, I said, you two are going to become fast friends. I know you both, and I know this is a good one.
I mean, my son's been singing since he could talk. So, I mean, it's I love what he does, and just I love music, too.
Nice. Well, to be fair, now we'll start with you, just because, you know, I can't start with Jenny each time. What turns you off?
What turns me off? You know, I think gossip or... Mm. It just, when people are talking about other people, my first thing is you don't know what you're saying. I mean, that's a big turnoff for me.
Yeah. Very good point.
Assumptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good point. How about you, Jenny?
I mean, along those lines, I don't like mean people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mean is just, there's no place for mean.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mean's a problem for me.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Love it. So, Jenny, this will fall perfectly for you because there is the question, what is your favorite curse word? Which is actually your favorite word. So I think we've answered that one. We know your favorite curse word.
Yeah, we do.
Camille, what's your favorite curse word? You got to have one.
Probably the ass shit.
I love it. It's got a little lead in. It's
exactly.
not just shit.
It's not exactly.
Yeah.
It can be good or bad.
I love it.
Yeah, that's
I love
true.
It. I love it. Okay. What sound or noise do you love?
What sound or noise do I love? Yeah, these are hard questions.
They're deep. They make you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do love the sound of rain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do you love and the my sound daughter. Of rain.
Oh, my
really?
Gosh.
She checks the weather forecast just when will it rain. Just
oh, yeah.
Obsessed
Rain's
rain.
A good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I translate that to I get to stay home and do nothing.
Right. Yeah. It's jammies and hot cocoa day.
Exactly.
I love Amen. It. How about you, Jenny?
You know, when we live in this beautiful state, 75, the windows are open, the breeze is going through, and all I hear are my kids out front laughing.
Love it.
With the neighbor kids.
Yeah.
And I just, that laughter
makes me smile.
Yeah, just makes you happy.
Just hearing the kids laugh.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that coin, what sound or noise do you hate?
Snoring.
Oh,
that's a good one.
The collective. Yeah.
A lot of frustrating nights with us.
And there's just no way to really stop it, is there? Come on.
No.
How about you?
Well, shout out to my sister who stays with me a lot and has a little dog, and that high-pitched bark sends me over the... I have a big dog, but she doesn't bark too much, but it's the high-pitched,
the yapping,
shrill that just...
Ooh. My dogs.
I don't even remember that when I was at your head. They were barking. No, this one, she's got octaves, way up there.
I get you. It is. It is grating for sure. Mm-hmm. So this falls a little bit in line to what we talked about, but what profession other than your own would you love to attempt? Either one of you can start, whoever's got it.
Go ahead if you've got one.
Well, I know what I'm going to do when I retire.
Ooh.
I'm going to teach yoga.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's not the profession I would attempt. Yeah. I would love to, but if I had a voice, I would sing. Yeah. I'd be a singer and a performer. Give me a microphone, well, as you can tell. Give me a microphone and I'm happy.
Yep.
I like to entertain. Yep. So I wish I could be a comedian, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I love it.
Yeah, and I guess if we're saying, I mean, I don't have the skill set to do this, but I love to golf. And so I would love to be a golfer, but I could never do that and get paid for it.
Skill set aside. No one needs to worry about that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what profession would you absolutely never want to attempt?
There's so many, actually. I think a mortician. I see some of those shows, I'm like, hey, that takes a really unique person to embalm a body and get that. Yeah, that I cannot do.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That was number one on my list. Yeah. I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Yep. Or, I was talking with one of my coworker's sons, and he's a homicide police officer or a sheriff. And he has to deal, and there's children involved a lot. And I said, I could never do that. Like, I couldn't, I would absorb it and it would own me.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yep. Yep.
Anything that involves children being hurt, I'm out.
I agree. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And God bless the people that can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
We need them. But oh my gosh, so thankful for them, because that is not work I could ever do either. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh. That kind of makes you want to tear up a little.
I know.
I want the big one. Say, your mom's over there waiting for
you.
Aww.
I love it. I love it. And boy, is she proud. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'd want him to say, you know what? You killed it, girl.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, with that and wonderful answers, just to leave everyone with today, what word of wisdom do you have? Because there's folks listening today that are young in their careers. There's others that have been around the block. Some aspiring, some retiring. Oh, that didn't mean to rhyme, but I did. Some aspiring, some retiring. So whatever phase they're in, I know a lot of the people that love to tune in are from different phases in their careers and lives. So what word of wisdom would you leave them with?
I think you hit it, Jenny, when you said even just giving feedback. I think that people are afraid to give feedback. Mm-hmm. I think people, when they do give feedback, are afraid of how to give it. And so I would say, be open to it and ask for it, because mm-hmm. I think feedback can really help mold your next opportunity and who you are. So fantastic. I would say, be very open to it and ask for it.
Love it. Fantastic. How about
you, Jen? I agree with you on that. I would say that, I know it's a cliche, but get comfortable being uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. if everything's going well, you're not learning. It's being, and have some wherewithal, stick in there, dig in there. I feel like people give up too easy these days.
Yeah, it's easy to just
kind of... If it's not an easy path, they're out. So dig in there, be comfortable with, and try new things.
Mm-hmm.
And say yes to life.
Learn and fail. Yes. So I agree with that. 100%.
Yeah. I love it. Well, if people want to connect with you or learn more about whether it's Real World or Amerisource, how do they best connect with you or reach each of you? We'll start with you, Jenny.
Email?
Yep.
Okay. Jenny@realworldinc.com.
Okay, perfect. How about you, Camille?
And probably same thing. Email cfrench@amerisourcehr.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for being here, taking time out of your busy careers and lives. Absolutely. I think it was just so much fun having two, like I said, uber successful women who are crushing it in their business lives and their personal lives. So thank you for making the time.
It's being a lot, seeing a lot of us rise and shine with that. I love that. So it's great to be here with you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. You've been listening to the Leadership
Lowdown, hosted by me, Jody Lowe, and powered by UN Improved and Conscious Capitalism Arizona. At UN Improved, we are insanely passionate about partnering with companies for their leadership development to develop their most valuable asset, which is always their people. So to learn more, feel free to reach out to me, Jody Lowe, at jody@unimproved.com. And we look forward to talking to you again next time. Thanks so much.